All right, am I on? Wow, so my big mouth got bigger, amen. But you know, I guess I'm just going to talk about this just for a moment and put you at ease. I know that there's a lot of things going on, and I know that the coronavirus is in the forefront of everybody's thinking right now. But one thing I want to remind you is that for you as a Christian, God gives you a promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that he will take disease out of the midst of us. Amen. Yes. And so, amen. Amen. And I want you to know something, that I'm going to be praying, and then on Sunday, we're going to pray as a church directly about the coronavirus in this situation, because here's what I will tell you. The coronavirus is not bigger than our God. And in fact, I know that people won't like to hear this, but I want you to know there has been many other things that have touched our nations and other nations far greater than what this has done so far. And we are reacting, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do all the precautions and wash our hands, do all that you can do, but I'm just telling you, don't go throwing away your life or your sanity for the things related to this virus. Amen. And let's put our faith where our faith belongs, and that's in God, who has been faithful to humanity all this time. And I'm just asking him to remove this virus, to remove the effects of it, and to cause us to rise above this thing. Amen. Amen. And as you, as Christians and as believers, trust God more than you trust the news. And trust God more than you believe in the devastation of this disease or any other disease. Amen. Let's look up and let's remember that God is with us on this journey called life, and let's not let ourselves be so consumed that we are just fear-based and stricken. Anytime that you become fear-based and stricken, you're not doing yourself any good. Amen. I tell you what, if you look back over the times that we have blown up or let fear take us on a journey, it has never given us a good outcome. So I want you to know, hold yourself together, breathe deep, and put your trust in him who will bring you through. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Whoa. Let's just worship God for a little bit. Amen.
Things are possible, only believe. Jesus, do you brought heaven down? Whatever disease, whatever poverty level, whatever mental issues, whatever, addictions, whatever, coronavirus, do you understand, has to bow to the name of Jesus,
because you have no rival, you have no
words, because I got some words. Fear is a name that has to bow to the name of Jesus. Discouragement is a name that has to bow to Jesus. Suicide is a name that has to bow to Jesus. Thinking I'm not enough, low self-esteem is the name that has to bow to Jesus. What is your name? What is it that you need to cry out and say, God, I thank you that this name has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. Understand who we have in the Father that we serve, the power, the authority. And he didn't just leave it in heaven with himself. Jesus says, the things that I do, greater than these shall you do, because I go and sit at the right hand of the Father on your behalf. Amen. What name? Cry it out. Jesus is greater. Amen.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My life is built on your faithfulness. My hope is held in your promises. And I take each step with your confidence. 'Cause I am yours. I am yours. You never fail. You for greater things, you will come through. You always do. I'll trust your name for greater things. Sing my life. My life is built on your faithfulness. And I take each step with your confidence, 'cause I am yours. I am yours. You never fail. You never fail. You never will. I'll trust your name for greater things. Things, 'cause you will come through. You are. greater things.
Everything that's bigger than us, you planned. God, you already knew from the creation of mankind till now that there would be moments in life that are bigger than us.
Amen.
That's why we have the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's why we have you as a loving Father.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
See, we're not insane to come out in times like this. It's called faith.
Amen.
It's called We Know Who Our God Is. We know whom we serve.
Amen. Amen.
And we've read the word. Mm-hmm. And he said, nothing shall come against you.
Amen. To be honest with you, it should be quite normal that in times of crisis, we should be gathered together even more so. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I want to remind you that the Bible says that we should gather together even more so as we see the days and times approaching in which we live. And I want you to know something, that as Christians, you should feel confident and you should feel excited that you have found how God expected humanity to live.
Amen.
This is how God expected humanity. You know what's sad is the people that aren't saved. What's sad is the people who have not made room in their life for the Lord, because we have a whole lot of humanity that's living life in a position of fear and dread and all kinds of things that was never intended by God for them to live.
Amen.
And I tell you what, just like this, do I like the coronavirus and all this stuff being out? Do I like one person being sick or dying from this disease? No. But I will tell you what, I'm not going to let it disrupt life and make me paralyzed to think that it's the only thing I need to focus on.
Well, back when the plagues were in Israel, they put the, remember when the plague came in that was sweeping through and that was killing those other people, not the Jews.
Yeah.
I know, the Egyptians. Israelites. I got this. The Egyptians, they had to put the blood on the door post so that the plague would pass by them and their household would live and nobody would die in it.
Amen.
You got the blood
Amen.
Shed for you. We don't have to do a physical wiping. We just have to do a physical speaking.
Amen.
And pleading
Amen.
The blood.
Amen.
Because it's already been done.
Yep. Amen.
The victory's already
Amen.
Been given.
Amen.
He said, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed.
Amen.
That means it happened way back before we were ever born. It's done. It's done.
Amen.
And you have to step up and quit allowing fear and panic
Amen.
To take control.
Amen.
Listen, we're not a fearful nation. We're not a fearful generation.
Amen.
We are
Amen.
The generation that believes that God is who he says he is. And that
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And listen, this is the strongest nation that there is in the world. And I'm not, you know, here's what's going to happen. This will be the nation that not only develops I'm talking about us as the
Amen.
Nation. This is the strongest Amen. Nation in the world is the nation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we will Amen. Be a part of the nation that prays, and there will be a cure, and there will be all kinds of things. And you know what? I'm telling you that because of praying people, we will develop a cure for this virus. And because of praying people, after we get all of the people healed in America, guess what? We'll be the same nation that after years and years of every tragedy that strikes the world, it is the nation of America that rises up and reaches forth with more love and more kindness than any other. It's a proven fact. And that's not happening just because we're America. It's happening because there is an overriding residential reign of God that starts touching the heart of the people. Amen. And I'm telling you that I'm definitely, honey, speaking as the body of Christ, we are the people that keep the world together. Listen, I want you to know something, that God has a confidence that we're going to survive as a world because from generation to generation has been handed off the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what are you doing? But what has happened is that we have got to understand something, that every generation that has ever been, the historical evidence of why we have survived and why every generation of humanity has made it to the next generation of humanity is because there is a people of God that rises up in every generation. There are those that will stand when nobody else will stand. There are those who will reach up their hand and pray, not just for themselves, but they will pray for nations. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, I'll never forget that Moses is one who prayed and said, Lord, please, don't destroy, but bring blessing upon your people. And I tell you what, we have a country that's known for historical evidence after historical evidence that there have been prayer meetings, times of prayer and fasting since we've been established. And it has been the Church of America that has helped give birth to the great nation. I want you to know something that people might have forget, but when our leaders were writing our Constitution, guess what? They took a break and they attended a prayer revival. And 8 weeks later, our Constitution was established and things were written and things happened. And I want you to know something. We are a people of God. And I tell you what, the church is a nation within itself. Do you recognize that? Listen to me. You are a part of the countries and the places where you live. But within every nation, there is a nation. And we're joined together by one Christ Jesus. Amen? And so let's not forget, in the middle of these things, I tell you what, on Sunday, we're going to take about 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is. But we're going to have a prayer moment where we believe that God is bringing an end to the coronavirus in Ohio, in every state, and in this nation. And then we're going to believe that he's bringing an end to it for the world.
Amen. That song is in my heart. We are a people called by God to bring the gospel to the world that they might know and be set free.
Amen. Listen to me. Yes. Listen, I want you to know something. It is the body of Christ that has kept the grace of God upon the earth. I want to remind you back in Abraham's day, remember that Abraham was worried about the judgment of God. And he said, Lord, if there be 10 righteous people. And the Lord said, I will not for 10 righteous. And you better understand something. The world has been maintained because God loves his people and he's faithful to us. Amen. And I tell you what, there ain't never been nothing that's come this far that has ever overrided the fact that God will cause us to rise up and overcome it. And we will get beyond it. Amen. Woo. Guys, don't get me stirred up now. You guys will get me, huh? Oh, yeah, I do have one of the announcements I really, really want to make is that Roger Hendrickson's celebration dinner where we're just going to commemorate him and remember how much he loved us. I tell you what, he loved the church. And so we're going to do that dinner next Saturday, the 21st. Is it Saturday the 21st? At 1 o'clock, we're going to be right here in the church and we're going to have a meal together and we're going to talk a little bit about Roger and we're just going to be thankful that he was a part of our community. Amen? I'm telling you, he went home. This is what happens with a believer. They always get home too fast for us. Amen? But I thank God that he got to go home to the Lord. And I tell you, and we're going to talk about it. We'll talk about it Saturday. But I tell you what, I believe that if Roger could speak to us, he'd tell you that he has no more sorrows and he's excited. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to make that announcement. I also want to say that coming up here, when we get to Easter time, am I allowed to talk about Easter time? No, I was about to say, I think when we get to Easter time, we'll still be here having two services. And what we're going to do is we're going to take our 8:30 service and make it a sunrise. And then we'll have our 10:30 service as a service. And I think I'm just going to be praying for anybody in that 8:30 service. We're just going to believe God for miracles on Resurrection Sunday. Amen. So I'll be saying that from now till then, that invite people that you know that are sick and hurting and that need healed, and we're going to pray for them. Amen. And we're going to believe God. Is there something else I'm missing? Oh, 5:30 teens on the third Sunday. And I do want to update you on the church. Things are happening. It's really looking good out there. we are getting painting done, and so I don't know that it'll be done yet this week, but it's going to be close. I think we're going to be well into next week painting. That's my personal opinion. I think that we'll have to paint well into next week. I will tell you though that they are putting drop ceilings in. Hey, we. I will tell you that the drop ceilings are being put in into the classrooms, and that's exciting. And we should any day now have the electrical people out putting the lighting in there. We did get propane hooked up, so that'll be another transition that should happen over the next couple weeks here. They should be putting in our permanent heating. So things are happening, but we still got time out there, and we still don't have, I'm not here sitting here telling you, I believe by this time we're going to be in. We definitely have some weeks out in front of the project, and we've definitely learned. I do feel bold, confident in saying that we have finally had our last Christmas in this. I'll boldly make that statement. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will make that statement. Praise God. But anything beyond that, I think I'll hold off the reservoirs of talking about that till we get a little farther along. And hopefully here. Okay. You got something to say to the live streamers?
Yes, never talk to the live streamers.
I'm sorry, live streamers. I do love the fact that you're with us.
Amen.
We love you. You're part of our church family, and we thank you for tuning in.
Yes, we just want to thank you for joining us. We're glad you're joining us. If you have any prayer requests,
Amen.
We do have people that keep an eye on that. And we are praying during service. I know when we see the request, mm-hmm. some of us that are seeing it, we're praying for you then. But also, we're trying at the end of service to bring it to Pastor so that we as a church can agree with you in the prayer request that you do have. Hello, Jason. Are you answering your phone? Oh, I was going to say it might be Jesus.
He's
Jesus on the main.
He's one of the guys that you're just talking about. Oh,
okay. Sorry.
Calling him out.
I'm in a good mood tonight. I don't know what they gave me in my water.
You're calling him out, and he's one of the ones.
I'm just messing with Jason.
Helping our live stream.
If you come to this congregation, everybody messes with everybody.
Amen.
We have fun.
Yes, we do.
We like to laugh. We love one another.
Yes.
Amen. It's not in meanness at all. Amen.
No.
But live streamers, thank you. And then just send us your prayer request, and we definitely will. We'll be praying for you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to let the children go so that they can get started and have a good evening tonight. And I feel like I've preached this mini sermon already, but I want to take a few minutes and talk about offering just for a minute, because one thing that I don't often talk about is that we sow out of obedience because we do believe in tithing. But then we get beyond obedience and we start to sow out of our spirit being stirred and our confident love relationship with God, where we have seen his faithfulness. We get beyond that. And sometimes I want to like to remind us that sometimes it is good to sow a seed. It is good for us to be tithers. It's good for us to give offerings. But I will tell you that sometimes you need to be stirred in your heart to sow seeds for things that you need to come to pass in your life. You know, if you're having debt that you want to get broken off of you, I tell you what, sow a seed, but also get your confession out there and start asking God to give you wisdom, and he will help show you how to get rid of debt. And he will cause things to happen to help you in the arena of debt. I want you to know something, that you could be believing God in an area, and I mean, if you were ever stirred to sow a seed, even though you're believing for something, you're believing for a job, you're believing for debt freeness, you're believing even for the health of somebody, I'm telling you that sometimes God might stir you to sow a seed just as an action step of faith to give birth to what your faith is standing for. So sometimes I'm just encouraging you that sometimes it might be a financial seed. Sometimes it might be an act of faith that God asks you to do. But I'm just telling you that one of the things that you have a right to do as a believer is you have a right to sow a seed and see God impact you in certain regions. Yes. You could sow a seed for your business. You could sow a seed about your career. You could sow a seed, like I said, to get rid of debt. You might be wanting to buy a house and you might sow a seed. There are many times that you can, huh? Yes, you might be believing for God to save somebody and you might sow a seed just as an act of faith to believe for salvation for somebody. You're not buying salvation. You're releasing your faith to say, God, I take a stance and I believe you in this area. And just as an act of faith, God may stir you to sow a seed, you know? And so I want you to know that that is a principle and a promise that you have a right to do. There's a story in the Bible where there was a man during a time of famine who was living by the brook Cherith. That prophet was sitting there and every day he was provided for and the brook was running water and he was drinking good and eating good. He even had ravens. He even had birds supernaturally bringing him meals to eat on a day-to-day basis. But one day God dried up that provision and said, hey, I need you to go into this city. There's a widow woman there. And when he went to that city and you saw that widow woman, you would think that he who had been sitting there under provision would do something for her. But God brought that man across her path for an opportunity for her to sow a seed. And she said that she was going to just make a meal and a little piece of cake for her and her son. And she planned on dying, didn't she? But the prophet said, hey, why don't you make me a cake first? In other words, sow something into me. And that widow woman sowed into that man. And as a result, God opened up a stream of provision for her that lasted for their entire lifetime. Amen. And I'm just telling you that sometimes we can forget that sometimes it's a supernatural thing to release a financial seed. And God could be having you release a financial seed because he wants you to be blessed. And so if you have ever had something in your heart to say, I want to sow a seed, some of you have sowed towards the building and sowed towards the building project. I'm telling you that those are things that you can do and God will be faithful to do things for you in your life. Amen? So let's just make sure that when we have those stirrings, that we are moved by God to do what God tells us to do. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for people that are tithing and giving their offerings today. But God, I just was stirred to speak about seed for a minute. That what we sow is what we reap. And that God, anytime we sow into the kingdom of God, however you move us, God. God, whether we sow forgiveness and forgive somebody, maybe that's not even, that hasn't even apologized for a wrongdoing. God, sometimes when we sow mercy in a situation where maybe someone doesn't necessarily do what it would seem that would deserve mercy, but we give mercy. And Father, certainly, when you stir our heart to release seeds, God, to buy groceries or to give an offering beyond our normal or to give an offering beyond our tithe, Father. The release of these seeds are supernatural releases in the kingdom of God. God, it's not wrong for us to say, Father, I'm going to sow because I'm believing to be debt-free. God, I'm going to sow because I need something or I'm expecting something to happen. And God, you will stir us and have us sow so that we open doors and windows that you can do the supernatural. And God, I just thank you that you are touching the lives of us all the time, Father. And we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bring your tithes, offerings, or your seed unto the Lord.
We are a people called by God to bring the gospel to the world that they might know and be set free. We have a call we can't ignore for soldiers. We shall defeat the enemy. It's not by might, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We will trust him and be victorious till the end. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm glad you're here tonight. Praise God. And it's good to see our family here with us tonight. Amen. Amen. It's good to see all of you. Amen. Praise God. But tonight, I am going to continue to talk a little bit about heaven. Amen. I want to just talk to you about heaven for a few minutes. And first of all, I want to remind us as believers that it is good for us to talk about heaven, because this journey that we're on called life is a temporary journey. Amen. I know that it might be an uncomfortable subject to talk about, but one thing we do have to talk about is that it is appointed unto man once to die. And whether we cross over because we get to the end of our journey, or whether we get caught up in the rapture that's coming one day, that's something else I'm going to talk about. Because for some reason, I believe as a church, we have been far too long forgotten about teaching some of the things that belong to us and are some of the things that should keep us stirred. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. One thing I do when I hear these things reported on the news that they get weirded out about is one thing I know, this is going to come to pass. And also, sometimes it just gets me stirring as a Christian to be thankful that I've got this thing called life figured out and I can be at peace and live my life in peace. But I can also know that one day our Father is going to come and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth, and our Father in heaven is going to make everything whole. Amen. He's going to make everything all right. Amen. And so we're just going to talk about heaven for a little bit tonight, because I just want you to be stirred. And I got a ton of scriptures, I'm sure, that I'm not going to get to all of them, because I could go way back to the Old Testament to the New. One scripture in the Old Testament says, "For the Lord your God," in fact, I just want to start here, because I want you to know something, that one thing I do notice about people is that today people, and more people, have kind of slipped on the revelation and the reverence and the understanding that our God is a supernatural God. But I want you to know something, that generations upon generations have recognized our God. I want you to know that Joshua, one of the things that happened when they were dealing with crossing over to come over to this is that when they were going out and when they were spying and when they were finding out, that one someone told them this in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." I want you to know something. Our God is God of this earth, but he's also God of heaven. And I want you to know something, that our God is a supernatural, amazing God who has no intention of keeping you the way you are. See, I want you to know something, that we are right now, even with God in us, and we have the Lord. Listen to me. We can call on Jesus' name at any time and see miracles. And I tell you what, we have seen the miraculous, haven't we? We have seen people get supernaturally healed. We have seen the power of the blood actually supernaturally change people's lives. Amen? So we have experienced the supernatural. But I tell you what, I believe that we're experiencing the supernatural in less than what we could because we don't embrace it the way we should. And so one thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be stirring ourselves to embrace the fullness of what's available to us. And I don't think that we as people are always looking at what is 1,000% available to us. And I want you to know that I believe we should. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Listen to me. I want you to know something. You are here because the Lord has created you. Amen? Amen. And I tell you what, if we have been created by God, and we have, then we should know that at any time he can supernaturally impact our life if we will use our faith to allow him to be a part of who we are. And I want to also state something to you, because we're going to read this later, and I want you to be prepared by the time we get there, because we're going to read in the Bible that it says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Well, I want you to know something. This means nothing about his throne and where he exists right now. Woo! Come on, I want you to know that there's the first level of heaven, that's where we live. It's the tangible things that we touch here on earth. When the Bible is referencing these things, and I want you to know that there's a second heaven, that's what we look up and see. And it's all the skies, and it's all those things. And then there is that existence in the second heaven of principalities, powers, and all that kind of stuff. But there is something called the third heaven. And I want you to know something, that is where your Father rules and reigns. And let me tell you something, there's not anything that needs changed in that heaven. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. If you have ever felt the anointing, if you've ever felt the presence, if you've ever had God speak to you and just be stirred by a moment where God really spoke to you, if you've ever been transformed and felt the presence of God whatsoever, it is just a microscopic of what you're going to sense when you step in the fullness of where our God resides. Amen. Let me tell you something. Heaven is something that we can't even begin to fathom. I tell you what, we can dream. We can take trips. We can be on airplanes. We can have things that we never experience and we experience, and they're unique. But let me tell you something. When we get to heaven, we have not even glimpsed one iota of what that's going to be like. If you have ever felt peace, if you have ever felt joy, happiness, if you have ever felt a release from God where you just have a moment where you feel incredible, let me tell you something. That isn't really even a glimmer of what it's going to be when life surges through you. When you are touched by God, even what we know by faith. And let me tell you something. We felt the presence even tonight, didn't we? I tell you what, I felt the Lord when we were worshiping. And I know that sometimes when I'm preaching, maybe not all the time, but I know that sometimes when I'm preaching, something sparks in your heart and you feel a revelation and you feel something and God begins to speak and move on you. That's not me. That's the presence of God coming in, because where two or three are gathered in his name, wow, he will flood this place and he's touching your life and your heart. That is his presence touching you because he has relationship with you. Amen? Amen. And I want you to know something, that any of those things that you have felt a glimmer in a time in his presence, let me tell you something. The peace that you have felt when God has given you peace, oh, let me tell you, there's an arena of that peace that I wish I could put in words for you, because when we walk in heaven for the first time, listen to me. So when we talk about heaven and earth, a new heaven and a new earth, listen, that's from what you can see to where you live right now. That's what's going to be transformed. This earth that we live on. And when it's transformed and God can walk amongst us and around, listen, it's going to be great. But let me tell you something. The heaven where God lives is where we're all going to get a revelation of something that's so far beyond us. I'm telling you, don't let yourself be so involved in this life that you don't ever take the time to think beyond who you are right now. And don't ever be so involved in this life that you don't ever take the time to think and let your heart go out there. And I tell you what, if you ask God to start giving you his presence and start giving you some revelation, God will move on you and he will speak to you about some things. I just want to share some scriptures with you here. Praise God. It says in Psalms 26, it says, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I want you to know something. God will save his anointed. If whether you know it or not right now, you're anointed. You have been saved. You have been touched by God. You are anointed. You are loved. And God will save his anointed. Amen. But I want to speak about this for a minute, because it says from his holy heaven. I want you to know something, that there is not, never has been, nor will there ever be a sickness in heaven. I want you to know something, that you better get used to light and you better get used to it bright, because in heaven, you won't even see a shadow. Listen, you better fall in love with no pain. You better fall in love with joy and no sadness. You better fall in love with happiness and no discouragement. You better fall in love with peace and no darkness. You better fall in love with peace and no fear. You better fall in love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you better fall in love with everything about life. Because one thing that's going to happen when you get to heaven is there's not never going to be a dark moment. Listen, I tell you what, your Father in heaven is going to prove to you what a father should be. He's going to love you with a love. He's going to answer every thought, every need, every desire. There's going to be absolute happiness. There's going to be no darkness, no pain, no disappointment, no sadness. There's not going to be one moment that we're not there feeling his glory and his love and saying, my goodness, holy and powerful is his name. You know, I love that song. A few years ago, there was a song really popular called I Can Only Imagine. And I tell you what, I love that song because it's I wonder, will I stand in his presence? Or will, to my knees, will I fall? Because I tell you what, there is going to be moments in heaven. where, I mean, listen to me. Now, here's what's going to be so crazy about it. You're going to be able to handle it. Amen. You are going to be a brand new being. Listen, the Bible says that when you get to heaven, right now we know in part. And we see in part. And listen, I thank God for it because it's more than enough. More than enough for us to be saved. It's more than enough for us to live this life. It's more than enough for us to have victory. So we can see clear enough to have victory and to live in God's glory. We can see clear enough to see that. But listen, even the anointing that's been in your life and the goodness that you've seen God do, listen, there's a day where we know in part, but we're going to know fully. And this is what I love about it. It's not only that we're going to know God, but do you know it says that we're going to know who we are? Come on. Listen, I want you to know it's going to be amazing that we know him. But I'm telling you, there is a quickening that's going to come upon you. There's a supernaturalness that's going to touch you. And you are going to be different than who you are. You're going to be that inner man taken to the next level. Listen, I got to tell you something. Forget about these superheroes that we see in the movie. Forget about Iron Man. I love you, but you ain't nothing compared to Superman. Listen, I've always loved the Incredible Hulk. Whoa, now don't get me started. I've always loved the Incredible Hulk. But let me tell you something. Forget about it. See, listen, God is so great that he's going to make you great. And I tell you what, listen, we already have life, don't we? Now, come on, honestly. In God, we have overcome suicide, anger, all kinds of things. Amen? In the Lord, we actually have found enough value that we're not depressed every day and we're not hating ourselves and we're not at the end of ourselves like we were before we knew him. We don't have those anger bouts where we used to just walk around just looking for some destruction to get into. I mean, yeah. But we have found enough life because he says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. We have found enough life that God has given us a peace. Amen. He's given us a joy, and we can get through this thing called life. Amen? And we are different. But listen, not only in heaven is God something that you can't even imagine yet, but in heaven, he's going to supernaturally transform you so much that you're going to be something extraordinary beyond yourself. Now, part of the reason he has to do that is so that you can exist up there. I mean, just to exist in heaven, you have to become a supernatural being beyond anything you've ever known. Amen? Amen. Listen, Jesus, before he even went up and put his blood in the throne room in heaven, remember that he was here on this earth. Sometimes we act like Jesus was just here for a day after he raised from the dead. No, he was on the earth 40 days, going in and out of places, coming through walls, showing himself at a whole new realm of glory. Sometimes people would see him so glorified that, oh my goodness, and he'd let them come and touch him. And I'm telling you, it was supernatural. Listen. If Jesus went through a wall, guess what? One day, you are going to be able to go through a wall. Listen, even in the Bible, there's a man by the name of Philip. He was translated. There's a crazy man named Philip in the Bible, and it says that he was here, and suddenly he was somewhere else. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm sorry that you guys got to deal with a crazy man in Philip. And named Philip right here in Kenton. But listen to this. One day, I mean, I'm telling you, I might be here and over there and I can do that on the earth. I don't know what's going to happen when we get to heaven. But I tell you what, we are going to see some amazing things. You know, I haven't even got through. I haven't even got through a few of the scriptures I intended to. Maybe I'll just read a couple scriptures to you. here because I just want to show you just how much that heaven and earth and these types of things are in the Bible. And I want to just confirm to you how important it is for you to be thinking about the fact that you have a heaven to be a part of. In Mark chapter 10, it says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me." Now, this is the story of the rich young ruler, and we preach lots of things about this, and I want you to know something. God has no problem with you having many, many treasures and blessing on this earth. He has no problem with you being wealthy. It's just that he wants to make sure that the stuff you have on the earth doesn't have you, amen, and that he has you. But this is what I want you to know. Jesus said directly, "Thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Now listen to me. I tell you what. I don't know if you know it, but there are houses built in this nation and in other nations that have gold in them. I was up in Rhode Island earlier this year, and I want you to know something. Oh, it was last year. Yeah, last year I was in Rhode Island. And I want you to know something. I saw houses built where whole rooms were marble. I saw houses built where platinum was in the wall. I'm telling you, I saw houses built that would just blow your mind. I saw a house that was just a summer home. It had like 50-something rooms in it. And the people that owned that house had a house in New York or somewhere with 100-something rooms in it. And I'm telling you, I walked into this and you could see that things were made with gold. So let me tell you something. You're going to have treasure in heaven. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but we have seen some pretty amazing things created here on earth. And I tell you what, they're going to pale in comparison to what God has created. I tell you what, the Lord said that one of the things that he was going up to heaven for so many years ago was that he was going to prepare us some mansions up there. Amen? Listen, I tell you what, whether you like it or not, I tell you, all you faith people out there that have ever thought you need to be poor to please God, all you faith people out there who hate the rich and hate this and that, you are going to have to get a new attitude because you are already wealthy. You are already, I'm sitting here right now and I want you to know something, that I don't care what's in your bank account right now. I'm looking at the wealthiest people that have ever been on the face of the earth. Listen, I'm not worried about billionaires right now. I'm looking at the wealthiest people on the face of this earth because you are not a part of this natural kingdom. Listen, I love our American citizenship. But before we're Americans, we're called pilgrims in this land. Before we're Americans, we're called aliens to this world because we are citizens in heaven right now. Amen? And we're not waiting for our citizenship. We are citizens in heaven right now. And I've really gone long enough that I think I'm going to have to preach again on heaven next week because I didn't even get to touch the surface of this. And I'm going to have to come back and preach some next week on it for sure. But I just want to go to two places real quick, all in the book of Revelations. And the first place I'm going to go is just to confirm your identity, I think. Or no, just to get some things out here based on the goodness of... It says that and we'll read more on this next week, but Revelation 5:8. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors which are the prayers of saints. Wow. This is a glimpse into heaven. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. First of all, let me tell you something. Remember that the Lord says, Let my kingdom come, let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we act like right now that we're on this journey without a focus of us in heaven by God. But I want you to know something. It says that they had the prayers of saints already. It says that they were talking about the book of life. And I'm telling you that from the time way before the Bible was written till now, you are focused in heaven. You are a part of what they do. We're going to look at that later because I really want to tell you about that. But whew, I want you to know that it says here that he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen, I want you to know something, that Romans chapter 5 says that we should reign on the earth now. Means that we should have authorities and arenas of power that we live in right now. But I'm telling you, there's also coming a day where you're going to reign on earth in a brand new arena. Amen? And that you have been called kings and priests. So I want you to know something, that kings can't be kings and be poor, can they? Oh, my goodness. Boy, you guys have said it now. God. And I'm just going to go to one more reference, I think, in Revelations. And it says in Revelations 21:1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now remember, I want you to remind yourself, this only means heaven and earth as we know it. Okay? The third heaven where our Father resides is a perfect heaven, and it's always going to be perfect. Even when we go up there for the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's already perfect. It's going to remain perfect. But God is just going to do something here on this earth. And there was no more sea. Wow, isn't that crazy? In the new heaven and the new earth, that means there's going to be, if there's no sea, it means there's going to be no rain, no storms, no none of that kind of stuff. But let's not, but I want to drop down here for just a minute, and I just want to say that verse 17 says this, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth this, that, and the other. And as I'm skipping down to verse 22. And I saw no temple there, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? I just like for us to to take some time. And if you can, look it up. Look up heaven and just get an understanding of it, because here's what I want you to know. The more we know about the powerful uniqueness of heaven, the more I think it'll build faith in us. And the more we will believe God for his supernaturalness already. I can't wait till next week, because I'm going to talk about how Jesus is seated far above. But listen, when we start gathering our faith to think about supernatural things, I believe it's going to help us see more of the supernatural right here in life. See, sometimes in this life, we do the day-to-day fighting so much, and we do the day-to-day things. Even sometimes our logical-mindedness will cross over into the church and minimize where faith should be exploding. We will try to think things away and think things through, and sometimes we just need to get stirred to remember that we are supernatural beings and that we should see the supernatural God. And that even though we're sojourning on this earth, we need to live strong in this earth, but we need to make sure that heaven is our home and we see it that way. Amen? Right, John? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, look at you. Give me a smile, big smile. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare your glory, God. And Father, I just exalt you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you even give people visions of heaven, Father. Lord, I pray that you stir people to let them know how real heaven is, how extraordinary it is. Father, we just read that you are such a burning, shining light in heaven that there is no darkness there. There is no night. And that Jesus shines as such a bright light. That you guys are the temple. You're the place of life. Father, I know what I've seen concerning you and concerning heaven. And God, I pray that you would just extraordinarily begin to just give people the thoughts of the supernaturalness of heaven and the fact that that is going to be our home. Lord, that we should be stirring and living our life for you, God. Because we want to walk into that day and into that moment. And Father, even though we're going to have great and extraordinary moments on this earth, Lord, you do say in your word that in this life we can have 100-fold. And in the life to come, eternal life. God, the Bible even says this, let not the light afflictions of this life, which are but for a moment, even begin to make you think that they could compare for one moment with the glory that's out in front of us. And Father, I thank you that you are strengthening us, God, that you're causing us to be able to do this life, God, because not only will we see victory here, but after this, God, eternal life. Eternal life. No pain, no fear, no depression, no discouragement, no death, no darkness. But just joy, glory, power, and all the goodness that you have for us, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. I want to thank each and every one of you.